بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الرسول كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا إني بما تعملون عليم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صلى صلاتنا واستقبل قبلتنا وأكل ذبيحتنا فذلك المسلم الذي في ذمة الله ورسوله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, inshallah, briefly in a few minutes I want to talk about a very very important topic and divert your attention towards a topic which needs to be looked into by all Muslims, including scholars as well as professionals, as well as Muslims in general. And this issue is the issue of eating halal food and meat, poultry, chicken, etc., which I will mention in detail. The verse of the Quran which I mentioned and recited in front of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. The O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, eat from the pure, eat from the halal food, eat from the lawful. طَيِّب in Arabic means something which is pure, which is like Allah says, سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. When you perform tayammum, then perform it from sand and soil or the earth which is pure. So Allah says, eat pure food. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And then after that He mentions that also perform good deeds. Here, the commentators of the Quran, when they explain this verse and when they make the tafsir, they explain that first of all, Allah ordered the Messenger of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ, O Messenger of Allah, you eat pure food. Despite him being clear and clean and pure from sins, he is ma'soom as we all know. But despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders and commands the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should eat pure food. And then after that he said, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, carry out good deeds and good actions. Why did Allah mention good deeds and good actions with halal food? Because, and this is what the ulama explains, that there is a connection and combination, a very strong connection between eating halal food and good actions, good deeds. And this is the reason why when a person eats halal food, when he eats good and pure food, then he performs ibadah, he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a desire to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has pleasure in making ibadah, in performing worship, and he has this inclination towards ibadah and performing good deeds and a'mal as-saliha. And vice versa, the person who eats haram food, the person who consumes unlawful and impure food, he will not have no desire to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have no pleasure in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also his akhlaq, as the ulama explained, when you eat good food, your akhlaq, your manner, your character, they become good. And this is the reason why we see today that the root, and this is not just the root, but one of the roots of the social problems which we have today. We have today problems in people's marriages, there's so many divorces, social problems, it's at its peak today. We see relatives, brothers and sisters, parents are not talking with their children, one brother has a fight with another brother, there are quarrels, arguments, disputes. What is the reason behind this? There are many reasons, but one of the reasons behind this is that the halal, the food, it's unlawful. We are not eating halal food. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi from a sahabi known as Ka'b ibn Ujra radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام. And that body, jasad means a body which was nourished on haram, will not enter paradise, will not enter Jannah. And also, as I mentioned, this has an effect on the ibadah, and also the du'a, the supplication which a person makes is not accepted. Today we ask, a lot of people ask this question, that we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is our dua not accepted? And as you know, dua, it's ibadah and worship in itself, and we all make dua. Most of the Muslims make dua, even those Muslims who are not that practicing, but dua is something which everybody does. And the hadith states, الدعاء مخ العبادة, it's the essence of worship. And in the Quran there's many verses, Allah says, ادعوني أستجب لكم, call to me and ask me and I will answer your call, I will answer your prayer. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, when my servant asks about me, then tell him that I am very close. And everybody does make dua. But the question comes, which many people ask, why doesn't our du'as be accepted? We are making du'a day and night. We make du'a for ourselves, for our parents. We make du'a for the Muslim Ummah, that Allah help the Muslim Ummah. But du'a is not being accepted. The reason simple, which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself in the hadith mentioned, is a very long hadith narrated by Imam Muslim from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recited the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ كُلُوا مِمَّا يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And then he said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلُ, the Messenger of Allah mentioned the man, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ, he was on a long and prolonged journey. And then after this long journey, or he was in the stage of this journey, أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ, he was disheveled and his clothes were he was not in a good state, meaning that a person like that who has nothing to do with the world, he's in a state, and especially he's in traveling on journey, as you know, the dua of a traveler is accepted. And then reason number two, that he's not even in a good state where he's very rich, etc. Another reason for his dua to be accepted. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he said, يُطِيلُ السَّفَرَ أَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ. And then he said, يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, that this person, he's raising his hands towards the heavens, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's saying, يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي, oh my Lord, oh my Lord. But what does the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He says, وَمَأْكَلُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. That even though he's saying, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, but his food is haram, his drinking is haram, whatever he drinks, and his clothes are haram, and he is nourished on haram, then how can his dua be ever accepted? This is clear by the mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, recorded by Imam Muslim. And also there are no other narrations which mention this, that the dua is not accepted. In another hadith where Sahabi, a companion, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he came and said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me that I become mustajabu da'wa. Mustajabu da'wa is that your dua becomes accepted. He said that make sure that your food is halal, takun mustajabu da'wa, you will become mustajabu da'wa. And then he said, the Messenger of Allah, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ, that I swear by that being on, in whose hands is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَقْذِفُ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَقْذِفُ اللُّقْمَةَ الْحَرَامَ فِي جَوْفِهِ مَا يُتَقَبَّلُ مِنْهُ عَمَلٌ أَرْبَعِينَ يَوْمًا. That a servant, he puts one morsel of haram food in his mouth, because of this, 40 days of his worship and ibadah is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's so many hadith and verses of the Quran which indicate this, but, and we all know that haram is not just the ingredients, it's the money, the income, the business you do, the source of income, etc., etc. And it's a very lengthy subject, but from amongst all of this, the subject which I am talking about, or which I want to talk about briefly, is which is very important, which is the issue of halal meat and chicken. As you know, that eating halal meat and halal chicken is of utmost importance, and it has a very significant, important position in Islam. Some people mention that this is just a non-religious affair, you know. This is not the case. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that man akala man salla salatana, the person who prays our salah, wa akala zabihatana, wa istaqbala qiblatana, he faces towards qibla, and wa akala zabihatana, and he eats the meat slaughtered by us according to the Islamic way, then he is that a proper Muslim who is in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning the sign of a Muslim is you pray salah, you face towards the direction of the Qibla of the Kaaba, and number three, you eat the meat slaughtered by Muslims in a proper way and according to the rules and regulations of Sharia. It's the Messenger of Allah states that eating of halal meat and chicken is a sign of a person becoming Muslim. Then how can a person say that it's got nothing to do with Islam? And this is the reason why you find books and books. You pick up any hadith book, you have Kitab al-Zabaih wa Sayyid, the book, the chapter on slaughtering animals and hunting, Kitab al-Zabaih wa Sayyid, in books of fiqh, in the Hanafi Madhab, Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali, all the hadith books, Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, all the books have chapters where there's hadith narrations mentioned relating to and pertaining to this particular aspect. Now, this eating of halal meat is very important. And as you know, I will briefly sum it up, that there are basically three conditions for the meat or chicken to be considered to be halal and lawful. There are three conditions. The first condition upon which the whole ummah is united and there's a consensus amongst the fuqaha, the ulama, the jurists, the muhaddithun, and everybody, is that the animal And this is the normal animals which is within one's capacity, domesticated animals, is that the veins on the throat and the upper part of the chest must be cut with either a knife or any tool which is sharp and has a cutting edge. So the veins here, which includes the jugular vein, etc., and there's four types of veins there, the windpipe. So these veins on the throat must be cut with a tool that is sharp and that has a cutting edge. It must be. If it is not, then the animal is dead, according to Sharia, and unlawful to eat. The reason behind this is that it gives, cutting the veins is a way or a means of the impure elements from the animal coming out, and the blood gushes out and streams out. And that's why in the hadith, this is from the Quran and hadith. In the Quran, for example, Allah says, He mentions the list of things which are haram, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ, that dead animals are haram for you. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ, and blood, وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ, and the meat of swine, and وَمَا أُهِلَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ, and those animals which were slaughtered other than on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ, that animal which was strangled to death, the Quran says it's totally haram and lawful. وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ, and also those animals which died because of a blow, a violent blow which hit it. It hit a wall or something, or any other way or method. If it's dead, if it dies like that, then the animal is also unlawful haram. وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ وَالْمُتَرَدِّيَةُ, the animal which falls from a top of a mountain or something and falls down and it dies, it is totally haram. وَالنَّطِيحَةُ, and the animal which is gored to death, also unlawful haram. وَمَا أَكَلَ السَّبُعُ, and also that animal which is eaten by another predator with another animal is also haram. إِلَّا مَا ذَكَّيْتُمْ, unless before, after the animal falls down or it's strangled, unless you are able to slaughter it on the veins here. So the first condition, this is why in the hadith also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا فَرَ الْأَوْدَاجَ فَكُلْهُ, that whenever the veins are cut and slit open in a way that the blood gushes and streams out, then you can eat it. Otherwise you can't eat it, it's totally haram. So any type of or sharp tool, and it's mentioned that you shouldn't, it's makruh or permissible and lawful to use a tooth or a claw, as in the hadith been mentioned, laysa sinnu wa ghuf. So this is condition number one, and this is totally in agreement with all the scholars. Condition number two is that the taking of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here as well, there are many verses of the Quran and hadith which implies, signify the importance and the necessity of taking the name of Allah. You don't have to say any specific name, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, but you can just mention any name. Somebody can say Allah, somebody can say Bismillah. If somebody was to forget to say the name of Allah, then the animal is halal. But if somebody intentionally, deliberately, somebody did not take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then according to the majority and 99% of the scholars, this is haram. According to Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhum, there is a statement from Imam Shafi'i which some ulama said that he said that it is sunnah and you don't have to actually say it. But many scholars have looked into the works of Imam Shafi'i and they came to the conclusion that this is when it's infrequently done, once in a while, even deliberately, if you don't say the Bismillah or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the animal will be halal. But if you make a habit of it and it's frequent and istighfaf, and meaning you take the matter lightly, then it is haram, the animal. Because Allah mentions, for example, that وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكُرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, don't eat from the animal on which Allah's name has not been taken. وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٌ, it's a sin. Also Allah says, for example, that وَمَا لَكُمْ لَا تَأْكُلُونَ مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, why don't you eat from the animals on which Allah's name is taken? And there are many hadith, if you look in Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, where the necessity of taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. So this is also a condition that the name, there's a hadith where sometimes some people mention that one of the companions came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and stated that there's a group of people, a qawm, a group of people who come with meat to us and we don't know if they've said the name of Allah or the heaven. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَمُوا أَنْتُمْ وَكُلُوا, that you say, then take the name of Allah and eat. This does not imply in any way that the taking of name of Allah is not necessary. This question was regarding a group of people who were close, who were new Muslims, and the companion asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that there are new Muslims, we don't know if they've really taken the name of Allah or they have not. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if there are Muslims and we are supposed to have good opinion about Muslims that they must have taken, you don't go too much into that. That's why the ruling is that if you're in a Muslim country, then you don't go on each animal and check whether the name of Allah was taken or not. Because it's a Muslim environment, Muslim country, and normally everybody does take the name of Allah, so you don't have to really investigate too deep. But if you are sure that somebody did not take the name of Allah, then this will become unlawful. So this is condition number two. Condition number three for an animal to be halal is that the person who is slaughtering is either, number one, a Muslim, or number two, a Christian, number three, a Jew. People from the book, Ahlul Kitab. As Allah says, وَتَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ The food of the people of the book, meaning the Christians and the Jews, are halal. But here as well, as you know, these three conditions are independently. Cutting of the vein, taking the name of Allah, and the slaughterer being a Muslim, Christian or a Jew, independently each condition is necessary. It does not mean that if a Christian or a Jew slaughters an animal, then he doesn't need to take the name of Allah and he doesn't need to cut the vein. This is like he's surpassing the Muslim. The Muslim, if the Muslim strangles an animal to death, then it's haram. But if a Christian or a Jew, if he strangles the animal, then it's halal, which does not make sense. Allah says, وَالْمُنْخَنِقَةُ وَالْمَوْقُوذَةُ That the strangled animal is haram. But if a Muslim was to strangle it, then it's haram. So in the same verse, Allah says that the khinzir and swine meat is haram. So if a Muslim gave you that swine meat, it's halal. But if a Christian gave it, it's halal. And if a Muslim gave haram, it doesn't make sense. So if the person is slaughtering, and the reason why Islam gave permission for meat which was slaughtered by the Christian or Jew to be halal, the reason was that in the early times, these Christians and Jews, they used to, the method they used to use in slaughtering animals was exactly like the Muslims. They're very close to the Muslims, as you know, the three religions. So they used to take the name of Allah, and even in their books, even till today, you can pick up the books and the Jewish method, etc. But it's mentioned that they have to cut the veins and they have to take the name of God and Allah. And this is the reason why Islam gave permission that you can eat, because they slaughter according to our way. If they don't slaughter according to our way, then their slaughtering would be totally haram. So these three conditions independently, they are necessary. And also another aspect here is today, when the permission is given to eat the animal which is slaughtered by a Christian or a Jew, then this Christian or a Jew must be a true Christian or a Jew. Today most of the Christians, they are Christian by name, they are atheists. You ask them, they say themselves, we don't believe in anything, the only thing we do is when Christmas comes, we have a Christmas party, and that's about it. So these Christians, if they slaughter animals, then it's totally haram because they are atheists. And all the ulama and everybody agrees upon this fact, that other than a Christian and a Jew, if an atheist or a moon worship or a sun worship or any other type, a mushrik, a polytheist, his slaughter, the animal is totally unlawful and haram for us. So the majority of the Christians are like that. So this is why we have to be very sure that what type of meat we eat. So these are the three important conditions in conclusion. Number one is that the three veins must be, or the veins here must be cut and split open. Number two, the person should recite the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, the person should be either a Muslim or a proper Christian or a Jew. If he is either a Muslim or a proper Christian or a Jew, then this animal will be halal. Now today, we see that living in this environment here in England, we have many issues. And the rulings, and also the ruling for a country, a non-Muslim country, is that normally if you know that this meat or chicken is coming from a Muslim source, then it's halal, you don't have to go into too much investigation. But if there is a genuine reason for you to doubt it, then you must check حَتَّى تَيَقَّن until you are absolutely sure that this meat is halal. Today we see that many, many slaughterhouses, the methods which are used, whether it's machine cuts, there are some places where, as I mentioned, the name of Allah has to be taken. There are places where, for example, they use what they call blessed blades. They have blades on which the name of Allah is engraved, and with that knife, all the animals are cut. Another place where we went, we saw that this person who comes, the imam comes in the morning and he says Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and puts the knife, and then after that, the rest of the thousands of chickens which are slaughtered on the day, it's for the first Bismillah in the morning. Another place what happened was that somebody, the first the Muslim came and he said Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and he slaughtered the animal, and then he gave the knife, he went away, and then the first person was working there and he took each animal and he said, same to you, same to you, same to you, all of you, same to you, whatever he said, all of them. So there are cases like that. Some places they don't recite Bismillah at all. Then the aspect of the veins, there are places where sometimes they just cut from the back. If you cut from the back, then the animal is totally haram and lawful. And then the aspect of stunning as well, there's a difference of opinion between the scholars about stunning anyway. But stunning, there's two aspects to stunning the animal. Number one is that is the method itself permissible, and number two, whether the animal is halal or haram. The first thing is that if it causes harm to the animal, and which many people have proved that it does cause harm to the animal, and the animal suffers when an electric current is given, or a gas stun or whatever, or the pitching or different types of stunning, then it does suffer and harm. And if you harm the animal, this is haram. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبحة. When you kill the animal or when you slaughter, make sure you do it properly, in a proficient way. And after that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that وَلْيُرِحْ أَحَدُكُمْ شُفْرَتَهُ, and one of you should make sure that the knife is really sharp, in order that you first go, you slit the throat of the animal. And also, you shouldn't slaughter one animal close to another animal. So even this is not taken care of, the veins, many places that sometimes they cut from the back, and you see this cases like that. The reading of Bismillah does not take place. Also the person, we don't know who's slaughtering the animals, the chicken and the meat which is coming from outside England, we don't know who's slaughtering. Is it a Christian, is it a Jew, fire worshipper, a Hindu, a Sikh, we're not sure about it. So this is the reason why it is the responsibility of every one of us here, me, you, everybody, that this, as I mentioned in the beginning, that it has an effect on the whole society as a whole, everything. All the actions of ibadah we do, we wake up in Ramadan, we have big taraweeh, and people are reciting Quran, and they are doing this and this charity and that charity. But if your root, your food is haram, then everything goes in vain. There's no benefit in all of these things. So the first thing is that the ma'kal, your food which goes into your stomach, should be halal. So to end up, for this reason, and this is all this talk was an introduction for this. This is an announcement, which is that for the past about approximately one and a half years, a small committee or group of people in Leicester, which consists of certain scholars, ulama, and this is not specific or connected to any mosque, it is whole Muslim community, every single madhab, every single group, everybody together. We have people from everywhere. They got together, they got some business professionals and people in different fields, etc. A committee was formed by the name of HMC, which stands for Halal Monitoring Committee. The basic purpose, aim, objective, goal of this committee is initially and primarily to inspect the meat and chicken. And then afterwards, in the butchers, and then in the takeaways, and then they want to go further anyway, but that's in the long term. Now we see that there were so many other methods of inspection which came before. Now what happens, like for example, I mean, I know this by experience because I'm also part of the committee, so you can hear it from the, as they say, from the horse's mouth. So what happens now, here the butchers, they say they get, for example, they obtain and gain meat from this slaughterhouse. Yes, that slaughterhouse, the meat is coming from there, and we go there and we check. Two things, the first thing is that when you go to the slaughterhouse, if you're inspecting the slaughterhouse and the abattoirs, the day you're going, there'll be no stunning, there'll be there people there, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and everything, and then when you go, it's finished. We don't know. There's no constant checking. Number two, even if they are all okay, totally halal, then what happens is this butcher, he says he takes his meat from there, and he does, but there's many cases and places where people have witnessed that at night, from the back door, there's a big massive truck which comes, and meat get imported from Holland and from other places come, because it's cheap. For money, people do everything and anything, as you all know. So this happens. Also, the places where, at the beginning when this committee was formed, we went to all the slaughterhouses near Birmingham, near Derby, and all these slaughterhouses. We went and checked We saw people that Bismillah, the taking of Allah's name was hard in these places. Some said we don't need to, some say we get tired, some, you know, they're talking, the two of them are just carrying on talking. And even the veins are not being cut properly, etc. And this was all a doubt in itself, and then to, you know, to top it all up and put, as they say, wound in the salt in the wound, was the case of the protein, the pig protein, which we all know about, which came in the news. So this makes doubt on doubt, extreme doubt. So because of that, this system which this committee has been formed, the system of inspection is such that they've started now, and this is the duty of us, my duty and your duty, which I will mention, that what happens is that there are certain inspectors who are given money and who get salary and wages. They go every day, daily, to these slaughterhouses around, in and around Leicester, near Birmingham, Derby, etc. All the chicken and meat and poultry which comes to Leicester, which are in thousands and thousands, each animal is inspected before the animal being slaughtered, whilst the animal is slaughtered, and after. He checks whether Bismillah is recited. He checks each animal's throat, whether the veins are cut properly or not, and checks who the person is reciting. At the time when the zabah, and at the time of slaughter, a stamp is put onto the animal. Afterwards, on the plastic packaging, a label is put, and then on the box, there's another tape is put, and then this meat comes into the butchers here, the butchers' shops here. Yeah, which I'll just finish. So, this meat has been coming for the past 2-3 weeks. And in Leicester, if you go to the butchers, there's many butchers, approximately all of them, except for a few. Tagged meat is comes, which is on it written halal, HMC, which each animal is being checked. So the message to the Muslims is, and we all need to do, is that we go and demand, go to the butchers and say, can you give me the tagged meat? He'll bring, he'll go inside, he'll show you, there's a tag inside it, he'll say halal, he'll say HMC, and with that there'll be support to the people who are working as well, and more people demand, the more work the can progress. And with this, inshallah, may Allah give me the tawfiq as well as you. Allah is Akbar, Allah is Akbar, Allah is Akbar.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده يا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وأسوتنا وقائدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم أيها المسلمون ونفسي المذنبة بتقوى الله تعالى أما بعد فيا عباد الله إن أكل الحلال والتجنب من الحرام من أهم الأشياء عند مسلم فلقد قال الله تعالى في كلامه المجيد يا أيها الناس كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون وقال تعالى يا أيها الرسول كلوا مما في الأرض حلالا طيبا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما روى عنه الإمام الترمذي في سننه لا يدخل الجنة جسد غذي بالحرام فأكل الحلال أهم وأكل الحرام يضر المسلم ويؤثر عليه في عبادته وفي عمله وفي دعائه وفي كل شيء أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافي مزيده. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. عباد الله، اتقوا الله فيما أمر، وانتهوا عما نهى عنه وزجر، وأخرجوا حب الدنيا من قلوبكم فإنه إذا استولى أثر. واعلموا أن الله تعالى قد أمركم بشيء بدأ فيه بنفسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر الصحابة والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اغفر المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم إنا نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم، والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر عبادك المستضعفين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين. ربنا اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمشايخنا ولإخواننا الحاضرين ولأرباب الحقوق علينا ولسائر المسلمين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، وأقيموا الصلاة.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. قد قام الصلاة، قد قام الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله،
لا إله إلا الله. مشهد نشهد العذر سبيت إن شاء الله، استوى واستقيم واعتذر. الله أكبر، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا السماء فطرت، وإذا الكواكب انتثرت، وإذا البحار فجرت، وإذا القبور بعثرت، علمت نفس ما قدمت وأخرت. يا أيها الإنسان، ما غرك بربك الكريم، الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك، في أي صورة ما شاء ركبك. كلا بل تكذبون بالدين، وإن عليكم لحافظين، كراما كاتبين، يعلمون ما تفعلون. إن الأبرار لفي نعيم، وإن الفجار لفي جحيم، يصلونها يوم الدين، وما هم عنها بغائبين.
وما أدراك ما يوم الدين ثم ما أدراك ما يوم الدين يوم لا تملك نفس لنفس شيئا والأمر يومئذ لله. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. القارعة ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الحمد لله كثيرا طيبا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله